Okay then. So welcome to the latest edition of the Pocket Gamer podcast. I've dispensed with introducing it by number because the number has already become too high for me to follow, unfortunately. With me today are Fraser McInnes.
Hello.
He's our community chap. And the return, the triumphant return of Managing Director Chris James.
Woohoo! Yes, I'm back.
Here
you missed
is.
Me.
Yeah.
Two weeks.
You were here the week before last, weren't you? John was here as well. Is that not right?
Yeah.
Oh, was he? All right then.
I think you've only missed 1 week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last week. Damn. Medicine.
The triumph of return after 1 week. Woohoo!
Of illness. You, of course, had flu.
Flu. I did have a flu indeed.
Yeah, so that was a shame. Lasted a whole week as well. Anyway,
a whole week flew. It was horrible. I picked up on Ryanair, so there's a tip. Don't go on Ryanair if any more, any more reason were needed. Flew.
Allegedly.
There are other airlines that we are reluctant to endorse as well.
Yeah. You allegedly, possibly, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't get it. You probably have to pay extra for flu, actually.
So there we are. But he's all better and he's here. I'm here and so is Fraser. And we are going to... Well, obviously we always start off with the news. The big news this week, although it has zero relevance to gaming, is of course the sad demise of pop superstar Michael Jackson. You remember where you were when Michael Jackson died, Fraser?
I was sitting exactly where I am right this very minute. I'm sitting here kind of almost when anything happens. That's how exciting my life is.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
I was in a hotel with John Jordan. It's a long story, but I went going to one of our, who's a guest on the podcast for one of our regular writers. And it was breaking news. We were doing some, I was lying with flu, coughing, and he was, John, it was just appearing. I saw the whole thing emerge. It started on Wikipedia story, then a few little sites picked it up, and then the biggest sites started reporting that he is reported as dead, and then BBC reported that the LA Times had reported it's been reported, and it was very exciting. And then John decided it wasn't a good time to do a story, even though I thought we should do. I think it's really relevant the way that, you know, I think it's really touching the way a lot of the game sites, particularly of. I've run tributes and tenuous links to all the games that Michael Jackson was involved in.
It makes you wonder what other niche...
He was a huge video game figure.
He was a huge video game. I mean, it's Miyamoto, Molyneux.
Do you remember the Moonwalker, the arcade game? I always used to chuckle at it because he's going around and this is terrible that I'm saying this, but he used to go around, you know, sort of saving children and they'd all go, Michael! And when we were in... The arcades playing that when I was a kid, we used to chuckle because obviously the allegations about child abuse were just coming about then. So, Michael Jackson.
So controversial.
Confusing figure. Anyway, so there he goes.
It's strange
Michael
how
Jackson.
It's kind of managed to touch the video gaming community as well. I wonder if it's appeared, if there were stories about Michael Jackson's death on, you know, Bass Fishing Monthly or something like that.
Exactly. It's horrible.
It the best in everybody, didn't it?
It's horrible. Death.
I was touched. I was really touched. Yeah. Okay. So what else has been happening? Doom Resurrection came out earlier today, last night. Already, we have a review of that game up on the site. It got 7 out of 10, a bronze award. So that's Carmack's Doom Resurrection.
I haven't played it. That's quite controversial. 7 out of 10.
Worthy. I think it's worthy. Definitely.
7 out of 10. Solid, isn't it? Fair enough. I've just seen the score. I hadn't seen the review actually. That's how it's just popped onto the site. God, we're ahead of the time. Yeah.
Ericsson he doesn't let a game get past him. Not one of this magnitude. He'll stay up all night just to get the review in.
He will. He has done.
He's a hard worker. And he has done it. And it's 7-10, so maybe slightly disappointing for some people, but it's a very, very good game indeed. It's just a little bit too short. Unfortunately, but there you go. Doom Resurrection is out. If people want to buy that, they can. It's quite expensive. It's £5.99, which I believe translates into $9.99 for Americans. So it's quite a lot of money. That's the most expensive it can possibly be.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Controversial. Okay, so that's One megaton game. Are either of you going to buy it? Are you going to download it?
I already have.
I don't know. It's $5.99. I don't know. I'll read the review thoroughly, as should anybody looking before they buy the game, obviously. But I will have a read of the review and see. I was a big Doom fan, but I don't know. This is Doom Resurrection. Is that one of the later Dooms?
I recommend it. He's taken the Doom 3 palette, if you like, and then sucked all of the steroids out of it and made it sort of able to run on an iPhone. But it's not, you know, a typical first person shooter. It's on rails and whatnot. But it's good. It's action packed. It's fun. I liked it a lot. I like it a lot, in fact. I'm still playing it. I'm not finished it yet, but it's good.
All right.
Razor. Okay. Still likes Doom.
Still, yeah.
Bombshell.
Can you say we're Doom? Sorry.
We can, but we probably shouldn't. So it's another Megaton game is coming out this week, and it's called Rolando 2, sequel to what must be the flagship iPhone game, Rolando.
Wow.
Got our first ever Platinum Award. Yeah, July the 1st is coming out, so that's in a couple of days' time. That, in fact, is tomorrow. It's in one day's time.
That's a couple of days' time. That is indeed.
It's in 11 hours and 34 minutes' time as we're recording this. Probably yesterday. As you're listening to this, if you're a listener, then yesterday is out.
So, stop listening to this and go and play Rolando 2.
Rolando 2 is out. That's the story.
Wow. That's interesting. July the 1st. I understood it's come out at the end of the month from our internal sources, or late, certainly much later in the month. So that's the word in the street, though. Okay.
There was a bit of a hoo-ha, wasn't there? Because there was all this talk of Rolando 1 being pulled from the App Store before Rolando 2 was going to be set live. And a lot of fans kicked up a bit of a stink. And I think NG Moco has now said, all right, we'll leave it there, as their response.
Well, why would they pull Rolando 1? I don't understand.
I don't get it either, really.
So they said they were going to pull it. So that was the story, and everybody got upset about it. A lot of commenters on Pocket Gamer got annoyed about it. Then last night, our writer, John Jordan, the man who was sharing a hotel bed with Chris on the evening that Michael Jackson died. So John Jordan, he likes to stay up at night and write news stories that are not about Michael Jackson.
He's not a terrible boy.
Overnight last night, he first published the story, I think, about 1 in the morning, from NG Mocha clarifying their position on Rolando. And they said, this is from Rolando, basically we want the spotlight on Rolando 2 when it hits the App Store. And that was basically it. I think they wanted Rolando 2 to get all the attention, so they were going to remove Rolando from the App Store altogether. He published this during the night. Shortly afterwards, actually, the next story that he published and was published on the site was NG Moco saying, oh, actually, we've changed our mind. We're not going to be removing it from the App Store. So, in fact, it's staying after all. So that's the story.
Generated a lot of free publicity for themselves by not doing anything. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Cunning, some might even say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word for that. Recently, recently, I've had a dispute with my girlfriend over the definition of the word haver. But what NG Moco have done is they've havered. Havered.
Right.
Can you give us, listeners, our long-suffering listeners, a dictionary definition of the word haver?
It's Dr. Rob's dictionary corner.
I'll give you a definition, Professor, please. I'll give you the definition from the top of my head. There are two definitions, and actually this is the source of the dispute. But anyway, the conventional definition is to be indecisive, so to be reluctant to make a decision either way. In context, in Rubicon by Tom Holland, the book about the Roman Empire, the writer says, Cicero havered, and as a consequence, the assassin was able to reach Philip. So there you go, that's the definition of haver. But some people might be confused. People who listen to the music of the Proclaimers might be thinking to themselves, but they sing, when I haver, da-da-da-da. Fraser would be better at doing that, obviously, with his accent.
I'm not going to that.
Haver in Scots means to talk rubbish. So there you are. two definitions of the word hero. Shall we continue?
Let's.
Yeah. I the game that got me excited, and this is kind of news because it's just been released as well, which I'm quite excited about, which I haven't played yet, but as soon as this is over, I'm going to download it and have a go, is Free Versus new game, which is Warpack Grunts.
Yeah.
Warpack Grunts.
Oh, yeah, that one that's a bit like Cannon Fodder.
A bit like Cannon Fodder.
I've got a treat for both of you, because you know what we've been playing?
Yeah? Yeah.
Well, you've I'll leave you to put two and two together.
What, you've been playing something else, haven't you? Yeah.
I'm going to tell you all about it in hopefully in about 18 minutes, if we can keep the pace up.
Perfect.
Also this week, Steve Jobs is back to work, so congratulations.
Whee!
Go Steve!
He's been away. He's got pancreatic cancer, which the medical professionals will know is one of the most lethal forms of cancer, but he's had it for more than 5 years, so he's doing very well. I think 2003 was his first diagnosis. And he's had a liver transplant in the last few months, but he's back to work. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think that's it. We've done it. We've raced through the news.
There's more stuff, boys, but I think we've done enough. We've treated you to enough news this morning.
Definitely.
We've given enough, surely. And now, finally, we've reached what clearly must be everybody's favourite part of the podcast, the rumour mine. Fraser, if you would.
Rumour. Rumour.
There it goes.
Yeah.
We're in the mine. It's dark, but oddly cool, which is nice.
All the miners are wearing shades.
Exactly. You don't need to wear shades underground.
It's really dark.
our faces are blackened, our nails are chipped, but still we pour at the surface for gossip and insight. Yeah. And the first bit we've got this week is it's going back to something which touched on the news earlier, which is John Carmack and id getting involved in making iPhone games. And the first rumourette is that we shall see Quake 3 on iPhone pretty damn shortly, I imagine. That's almost come out of Carmack's mouth, hasn't it? That's kind of like
it has
quite
come
strong.
Out of his mouth.
It's almost straight from the horse's mouth. It's like straight from the pony's mouth or the donkey's mouth.
Yeah,
exactly.
We should probably qualify this. This isn't a Megaton rumor, really, because Quake 3, actually, you can already play it on jailbroken iPhones. John Carmack has already talked about it coming before. Really, what he said was that on the iPhone 3GS, Quake 3 would be very easy to do. This is from an interview he did with MTV Multiplayer. Quake 3, it's very doable. Especially on 3GS, and it will be coming. He's just saying that, he says, if Apple winds up addressing just a few things in their system software, then it'll be around. So Quake 3, that's exciting.
Quake 3, that's exciting, yeah. We're gonna chip away a little bit deeper here on our own backs into this nugget, which might seem... You've made that nugget of rumour seem quite small, Rob, but I think there's a richer vein here. Back again with the whole id world. Obviously, id in the process of, I think, or have been taken over, combined into whatever, with Bethesda Softworks. That's the name, isn't it? I'm bound to pronounce that wrong. Bethesda. So, presumably, our rumour, which we've chipped out of our own mind this week, is that we're going to see an awful lot more of these Bethesda games coming to the iPhone. And we were speculating the likes of Oblivion. What else were you looking at, Fraser? What are the great Bethesda titles?
Well, there's obviously, I think the most obvious ones are the Fallout series, because the original top-down Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 games would probably be quite easy to make on the iPhone. But this thing about it being with id, is that they are obviously the purveyors of top-class FPS games. So they might be able to lend a hand in realizing some of Bethesda's more complicated games, such as Oblivion and whatnot, in first-person form on the iPhone. And that would be really, really brilliant if they did manage that. Because, especially for Oblivion, it's an RPG, so it doesn't really require you to have really fast-paced, responsive controls. I mean, they have to be responsive enough to play, but you don't have to to be, you know, shoot somebody's head off from the top of a mountain with pinpoint accuracy. You know, you can just slash a bit artlessly at a goblin until he dies. So if id could help Bethesda do that, I'd be very happy.
No, well that's exciting, Rob. You've got to be excited about that. The prospect of Oblivion and other Bethesda titles coming to iPhone.
Yeah, I'm quite excited, but yeah. I'll say this, that the merger is a business arrangement, so we possibly shouldn't get too excited about what fruit it might produce in terms of games. I don't know, I mean, it's easy to make the kind of speculation from a gamer's point of view. I think it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. And I say this mostly because I was listening to the Joystick podcast the other day, and that's basically what they said about it, that we shouldn't get too excited, really. Yeah. It's a business arrangement. But, you know, as Fraser said, the early Fallout games on iPhone would be very doable and completely awesome.
And they'd have a massive fan base just ready to play them. And it would also fill in that RPG gap that's still arguably not been filled on the iPhone yet.
Yeah. Definitely.
So hopefully they'll come. And there is one more rumor, also Carmack related, and it's not a rumor. It's something he said.
So it's something he said. It's not a rumor.
It's a comment.
Can't you dress it up a little bit, Rob?
It's a fossilized diamond.
Can't you say it's something he said whilst riding on the back of a unicorn?
I could do, but he might sue me. can you invoke mythical creatures in legal action?
Carmack can do anything.
He's done before.
Well, he basically said in the interview with MTV Multiplayer, and I picked up on this, it's not a rumor because it's something he's just said it, so there's no speculation. But he said that the reason Wolfenstein RPG, which is a very good mobile game, and he's made it for iPhone and it's ready, and the reason it hasn't been released is because EA think that consumers will confuse it with Wolfenstein 3D Classic, which is already out, obviously, and so that's why we're not getting to play that game. It's the corporations.
That's
like it, because it's, even though it's not a rumor, it's kind of down with corporations.
I think it's the man.
Yeah.
No, but I have to say, that's a bit daft of EA, really, isn't it?
I don't know. To be honest, I have some sympathy with EA's position, because, you know, it may be the case that people would, like consumers who aren't too savvy, would stumble across one and assume that they're both, or look for Wolfenstein on the App Store and assume that they're both the same game, or download Wolfenstein 3D Classic, and then, you know, the next time they're browsing on the App Store, they see Wolfenstein RPG, but they, you know, they think, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I've already got that. I think it is possible.
But the point is that I don't see what that's not really a smart justification for holding it off. That's a smart justification for not publishing it at all. But as Wolfenstein 3D is always going to remain in the App Store unless somebody takes it out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What difference does it make? It's not like it's stuck in the top of the chart. I think it's nonsense. Final rumor. This is more of a shiny, probably a black shiny rumor that's come out in a. It's come out with a little Sony logo on it. Is that Sony are rumoured or seem to be quite forcefully posturing around the creation of a iPhone iPod Touch Challenger. Clearly, they've had enough of Apple.
They're making
a fortune, but it's been talked about for a while about the PSP phone. I don't know if this is the same thing or not, but. But I think the idea of a serious iPhone, iPod Touch Challenger, touchscreen, same format, all that sort of thing, it's been said by some official at Sony. It's got to happen, surely. Well, surely it's about 2 years too late, but still.
Yeah, I mean, the story is Japanese Business Daily, Nikkei, I'm going to say it's Nikkei, sorry if my pronunciation's wrong.
It's Nikkei.
He's been talking about Sony Ericsson. And, you know, their latest plans to kind of take on. I think the key here is it might be necessary to distinguish Sony Ericsson from the PlayStation brand, because previously Sony have, you know, gone on record as saying that Sony Ericsson doesn't have access to the PlayStation brand. So that, and for that reason, there's never going to be the PlayStation phone. So it might be the case that Sony Ericsson is trying to make a really swanky phone, but it probably won't be a PSP phone. I think that's...
That probably is more likely. And the other thing is, as well, is that Sony Ericsson has recently stopped branding, using other Sony brands for its phones as well. I believe there's not to be any more Walkman-branded Sony Ericsson phones or Cybershot-branded Sony Ericsson phones. I'm sure
I've heard that
a while ago.
They had Bravia TV phones as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I read that they're going to put a stop to that. So it'd be odd if they were going to do that, but then all of a sudden bring on the PlayStation brand.
But I don't think they need to bring a PlayStation brand. I mean, I think Sony's opportunity with the PlayStation brand was to put a touchscreen on the PSP, which it singly failed to do this latest version.
Yeah.
I don't say they've massively overcharged for it, so good luck with that one. Okay, but that's it for the rumour mine. We're struggling, gasping to the surface. The canary is dead. We need to escape the noxious fumes of oblivion, etc. Kind of drug his bag of sundust. It's another rumour mine for this... this week we'll be donning our tin hats and
stretching the metaphor even further next.
Stretching the metaphor further next week.
Yeah. All right.
Very good. I love the jingle for Rumour Mine. It's my favourite thing every week. I can't hold in. what for me is the equivalent of riotous laughter, which is a small smile. But you know, in anyone else, it would be riotous laughter. It's very good. And we've done it now. We're out, as Chris says, and we're going to talk about what we've been playing this week. So who wants to start?
I don't mind going. If
go for it.
Fraser, because you always go me, Chris, at the beginning. So I think it's probably Fraser's turn.
Okay, right. Is it? Do I?
Yeah. You're going to get sacked for that as soon as we finish recording, Rob. all right, I'll go then. I've been playing four games. I've been playing three games. Strike that. I've been playing Castle of Magic, which we've reviewed on the site and is very, very good. Everyone keeps saying it's like playing Mario on your iPhone, and I don't really think that it is. It's not that it's not good, but it's just not very Mario-esque to me. It's much more like that game Pandemonium that came out on the PlayStation all those years ago. But yeah, it looks really good. It's just really cute and cuddly and fun and cracking little platformer. And there's not many platformers that I've played that measure up even half as good as that on the iPhone. So it's definitely, if you're looking for a platform game, one to go for. I've also been playing Wordulous, which has managed to stem my addiction to word foo somewhat, but I have a feeling that's probably only going to be temporary. It's really good. It doesn't allow you to use letters twice the way that Word Foo does, but it does have Facebook Connect and it does have multiplayer across the network that you can organize via Facebook. So it's really, it's got something Word Foo doesn't have in that respect.
Yeah.
And it's quite cute. It doesn't, like Word Foo, I really like how Word Foo doesn't go down that cute route, and it's got the whole kind of ninjas screaming at each other thing going on, which is always fun. But you know, it's still Wordulous is still, it's approachable, it's friendly and inviting. So I heartily recommend it to anyone that wants to make themselves feel slightly stupider than they are, as word games always tend to do.
Wordulous,
yeah. It's an odd title, isn't it?
No, it's a good title. It's good. How many word? There's a lot of word games out there, aren't there, at the moment? There's a lot of word games in the market.
There are. Wordulous is definitely one of the better ones. Yeah. Definitely. I've just a review's gone up on the site shortly, and
we should do a round of the word games.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Definitely, because there's easily enough to constitute top five at least. But one of the things just quickly about Wordulous that I do like a lot is that you can actually, most of the time in games like this, there's a similar game on Facebook and there's other iPhone games that do the same thing, is you get your six letters and you've got to keep making as many words as you can with them within a time limit, and that's it. But in Wordulous, as soon as you've gained enough points or made enough words with the same set of letters, you can scrap them and get a completely fresh set of letters. So you're never at that stage where you've guessed maybe almost all of the words possible except the last three, and you're sitting there scratching your head trying to work out a word that involves Q you know, an X and other such difficult letters to spell with. So it's really, it's good in that respect. It's less frustrating than most other word games. And lastly, I've been playing Doom Resurrection, which I've only been playing this morning, obviously, because it just came out last night, and I'm only about a couple of levels in, but it looks gorgeous. And it's definitely got that kind of id sleight of hand where, although it's on rails, it's all directed really nicely, and there's a lot of scares and frights, and it's just, I really like as well the cover system, and changing between weapons is really intuitive. And also, best of all, it has the double barrel shotgun back, which Doom 3 didn't have, and which I was sorely pissed off about when I played it when it came out on the Xbox. But it's back from Doom 2, the double barrel shotgun, the best first person shooter weapon of all time. And that is, for me, reason enough to buy Doom Resurrection. So go and buy it and play it and enjoy it. You will, I'm sure.
That's cool, me. That's good. I mean, what about the control system, though? I've not played it yet, and I probably should download it.
Well, yeah, it's on rails, so you're moved through the environment automatically, and then for aiming, it's tilt controls. And you can recalibrate any time, which basically just centers your reticule again so that you don't have to point the thing at the ceiling in order to aim. And then there's a fire button in the bottom right hand corner and a reload button in the top right corner and a cover button.
That's
cover,
interesting.
Yeah,
cover button.
It's a feature. It's a hidden feature. Yeah. No, there's a cover button in the bottom left hand corner, which is sort of context based. There's only certain enemies that require you to use it. And then on the top left hand corner, there's something else that I can't remember. But it's very good, really.
It works.
And also, if a zombie tries to eat your face, you have to shake the iPhone to get them to go away. So,
yeah, that usually happens. That's pretty
saying shoo
standard
just
for...
isn't enough. You have to really give them a good shake.
So. Any zombies attempting to eat your face in any situation, give them a good shake. That's my tip.
That's the rule of thumb. It's in the zombie handbook.
It's the zombie handbook.
In case of zombies, break glass and the big shotgun there. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, that sort of sounds good.
Yeah.
So there's some recommendations there. What do you think, Rob? What have you been up to?
That sounds like he's been having fun. I've been playing that cannon fodder type game whose name I am retrieving.
Warpack.
Grunts.
War Grunts. Yeah.
Warpack. Something like that.
Grunts. It was quite a while ago that I think I said somewhere in the forums or in the comments that I would quite like... Here's the sound effects. There you go. That I would quite like to see Cannon Fodder on the iPhone because that's one of my favourite old Amiga games.
Yeah.
And here it is, really. It's
lo and behold.
Obviously it's not Cannon Fodder, but it's very close to it. It doesn't quite have the same sense of humour that the original game had, but it's there. For those who don't know, it's a top-down game of a kind of like be set in a jungle or wherever, and you're controlling a little group of four soldiers, and you tap on them, and then you tap somewhere on the screen to kind of make them move there, and you can drag them around. You can make them basically follow your finger. If you see some enemy soldiers, you double tap to fire. You can pick up, grenades. You can select grenades. You can chuck grenades at people. It's all very fun. You didn't have in Cannon Fodder that you do in this is you got binoculars and sniper rifles so you can see people who are far away.
That sounds great.
It's
good, but it's missing, and this is, I'm going to be puritanical now about Cannon Fodder, because what the core of the gameplay of Cannon Fodder is the fact that you can select a place on the screen and you click on it with the left button, and your little group of soldiers or individual soldiers, if you've selected them, will move towards where you've clicked. And then while they're moving there, you can use the right button and the cursor to shoot people. So they can move in one direction, shoot people while they're moving there. And that summed up the entire game. That was how to take care of business in Cannon Fodder. And in this game, you can't do that. So if you're running along, you select a place and you go, right, soldiers, go there. But then if you see some other soldiers and you want to kill them, you double tap, your soldiers just stop and shoot them. So there's this, you've got this constant necessity to remove them and then shoot. You know, nothing happens automatically.
Run and shoot me. Okay. So they can't run and shoot, you say?
They can't run and shoot. Yeah, that's much more.
That's a limitation in war, isn't it? I think maybe that's a reflection on different training programs that the British and American soldiers go through. You see, because it's obviously a US game. So, that explains a lot of things.
The American military is, and I see what you're saying. The American military is much worse.
I'm saying they're focused on one skill set at a time. So you know they're very good at shooting or running, but you know they've not yet combined the two. So basically, with Michael Jackson and the American military, we've probably alienated just about 90% of our American audience in this call.
Yeah. Fortunately, you cut me off before I was going to make my Fred Byron joke. But still, it's very good. And if you want cannon fodder and iPhone, then this is the closest you're going to get for the time being. The other thing, and I've mentioned this before in podcasts, and I think this is a huge problem with controls in iPhone game that people don't really talk about enough, is that your finger gets in the way of the action. So constantly, as I'm playing this game, I'm trying to look around my finger, just going, God damn my finger, because of my finger I can't see what's going on, and that's quite frustrating, but you learn to get used to it. I'm not a big fingered man.
I've got a big fat finger, so I think it would be like that'd be terrible for me. Wouldn't it be great if your finger was the little character? I don't know, wouldn't it just, you could be just a little soldier, if your finger was the first soldier, so rather than on top of one, so you could actually, no, maybe I'm talking nonsense.
You know what? I saw there was a patent filed by Apple a while ago where you could just swipe your fingers and do all sorts of gestures just in front of the screen rather than touching the screen. So who knows? Maybe your wish will be granted before long.
That's quite good, that game. It's definitely worth having, even despite the fact that I haven't really said anything nice about it and I've only said negative things about it. That's really just my way. It is a good game.
Darling.
Go on then, Chris, what have you been playing?
Oh, sorry, have I interrupted you enough yet? Or have you... Can I interrupt you again? Or
retribution. Okay, we'll carry on. Chris to go first.
Just one more. It's playback time. Okay,
I forgot what I was going to say. Don't, I'll remember it in about 25 seconds. No, actually, I did have something to say, but I didn't want to... This is Professor Rob again. Fraser, you said patent and you meant patent. Very different thing.
Christ.
Right. Fraser,
yeah?
We need jingle. Next week, jingle Professor Rob.
Professor Rob, definitely. Don't worry.
University challenge. Bing, something like that. That'll do. Fantastic. University challenge.
It's patent. So, patent. Deal with it.
No, it's patent.
It's patent.
It's patently patent. That's how you...
No, I know it's patent, but I'm just saying patent to annoy you now.
Yeah, that sounds like an argument.
Can I talk about my games now? It's very rude, you know. Basically, this week I've been donning my big beard, my little hat, and my hearties. I've been guiding in big ships into the harbour in Harbour Master, which is, I think, is bloody genius. It is basically flight control with boats, which might not sound like the smartest thing ever, but it's flight control boats. Flight control is great. This is with boats. It's a bit more complicated in that there's three different levels.
Boats can't fly, for a start.
Boats can't fly, so that straight away, you know, you're trying to guide a boat onto trying to guide a boat into a harbour, and you have to unload, and you have to guide them out again. So it's already a bit more complicated in that. You're not just landing them and then they disappear, like that happens. You just have to guide them in, they drop off the cargo, you've got to guide them out again to not collide with the other boats. Like flight control, is like three or four kinds of different speeds and size of kind of freighters coming in. And there's three different levels in the original thing. I think it looks like it's open to upgrades pretty soon. But the first three levels are pretty, pretty varied. One's just your standard... in a simple port, and then one's got a little cyclone wind that goes around, which blows your boats, you've got to try and avoid. And then the third one, which is my favourite, which I think hopefully they'll develop more like this, is you've got coloured boats. So you've got two different ports, one's purple, one's yellow, and you have to obviously direct the right colours to the right boats. But I've played it for a long time. I think I've probably got to the end of how long I'll play it for, having said it's genius. I've kind of played it for a couple of weeks, on and off quite a lot, but I've really enjoyed it. But my thing with this, and my appeal to developers of games like this, is why can't we have missions as well as a open-ended mode? Because I would love to play one of these games, like Flight Control, where you actually kind of had that broken out mission, the option at least, the kind of mission progression, so you can actually feel you've kind of achieved something. Because you always kind of come away at the end going, oh, my score's like one more, but I've not really got anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, because I do. The other thing about, especially with something like Flight Control, amazing though it is that even if you are awesome at it, every time you die, you have to start right from the scratch. Even if it wasn't necessarily something that was a mission structure, but that took you in at the fifth floor rather than at the first floor when you started again, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it'd be really nice to have Flight Control of little missions and you start with a little airport. I mean, obviously there's more development time and maybe this is the thing for the sequel and what have you, but it just seems that that's kind of, like, I don't know, from the casual games online that really snare you, the ones that you kind of have, even though it's similar basic interaction, you have that steady feeling of progress, that little reward when you've actually, you know, got to the end of the level and you've landed 50 planes or whatever, and then you go, a new plane gets added into the mix and all that sort of stuff.
That would
I don't
be
know.
A great mission.
What?
If you had bird strikes and one of the landing places was the Hudson River.
That and would never happen.
Also, but that would be good. That could be one mission. You have to land a plane in the Hudson River.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you had things like hijackers and bird strikes and wheels that didn't
I think you should stop before you anger more. I can see where you're going with this, Rob. And I really think you should cut it off there before. I think they have a special Ryanair level where you had to pay every 5 minutes to keep flying. Sorry.
Have I and stop your passengers from getting the flu.
Get the flu, yeah. Allegedly. I don't think that was part
back
of it.
Carefully away from this subject.
Just yes, and so that's all I've really been playing. I've downloaded a couple of the games I'll be playing next week, but I haven't had a chance to properly look at them yet.
Right, so that's what we've been playing. So yeah, so we're coming to the end. We're approaching the landing strip, or alternatively the Hudson River, of this podcast.
Right.
So what do we need to discuss, Fraser? You've got to tell us about who's won prizes.
I have a small amount of business to transact. The winner of last week's song was a chap who's already won something from us, so he's going to win again this week. But from now on, I think we're going to have to implement our one win per month rule, perhaps.
Okay.
Okay? But yes, it's the chap who, sadly, I still can't pronounce the name of.
Wait, Fraser, before you go on.
Yeah.
During this podcast, we got an entry through. I'm not sure if you've been checking your emails.
Uh-huh.
But somebody else.
Yeah, they were too late. They were too late.
Too late.
Yeah, this other chap got in. What I could have done is I could have just ignored both of them right up until the podcast and then chose the one who was later, just so to give them a chance, but I can't be that dishonest. I had to follow my gut instinct, and that was to award the person that got in touch with me first, which was Addy Pye, with the correct answer, hey, which was Sonic the Hedgehog, of course. So before I play this week's clip, which is going to be equally as obvious as last week, so it's really, again, it's a test of speed. It's not a test of arcane knowledge. It's a test of speed. The other thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to talk again very briefly. We announced last week our new feature, Quote Stars, where anybody who comments using a registered Pocket Gamer account, either on the forums or on any of the stories, reviews, features, or previews on the main site, can stand to win £5 iTunes gift voucher for their comment. This week's winning comment, which I'm going to announce now, was in the porn thread. And the thing is, this might not seem like the most spectacular of comments. It's still a good comment, but the problem is we had a lot of great comments last week that weren't from registered users. So if you want to win something, please register. People who fall into that category will find out tomorrow when we publish the written feature about this, and they will rue the day they decided not to register on Pocket Gamer because they may have won, or they may have missed out on a £5 iTunes gift voucher. But there's always next week. So, this week, The Badger, who is a recently joined... Well, actually, he joined...
Actually, cuddled in.
Sorry? Yeah,
he's recently tunneled in the Badger.
Tunneled in from his set. He joined a while ago, but he's only made a couple of posts, so clearly he's been motivated by our new Quote Stars feature.
Or she. And, he maybe
or she. He or she. Thank you. Yes, we don't want to be gender biased on this podcast. So the topic was porn now coming to the iPhone, in which there were various incriminating posts. And the winning post from the Badger was sweepstake. How long till a naked fart machine app is released? I say next Tuesday, which I found very amusing. So that's £5 iTunes voucher is on its way to you, and you will of course see your comment reprinted in all of its witty glory tomorrow on the site, next to a big fat gold Pocket Gamer award as well to signify the awesomeness of your comment. And there will also be a few other comments printed beside that as well to show some of the runners up. And so yeah, I think now the only thing left to do is to play the tune for next week so that people can write in and win another £5 iTunes voucher in a completely separate competition for the podcast. I'm not going to give you any hints because it's going to be painfully obvious as soon as you start hearing the sound effect. Okay, I think that's more than enough.
That is. That was my ears. That hurt me plenty. My ears were really hurting there.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, do you? Did you ever play games before you started working?
Maybe is it possibly? I'm gonna send you a message.
Okay.
Skype.
Just hearing those sound effects makes my thumbs ache. It really does.
Oh God. Well, so this is wrong then, probably.
Anyway,
for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to confirm for the benefit of our listeners that Rob is wrong. That the answer that he gave is
not
correct.
Sonic, Rob, that was last week. Yeah.
And it's not an Amiga game, okay?
Oh dear.
That was an arcade game. Oh well. Yeah.
Moving on. Well, Rob, really, you've just embarrassed yourself there, I think, but.
But never.
It's all right.
In fact, you know what, Rob? Like, I think seeing as you seem to be so clueless with the answers that you're entitled to play as well.
Oh, yeah, you get that.
Yeah,
clever.
Okay. Only kidding.
Okay.
So great. I think that's us.
Right. Okay. So with that moment of embarrassment, that's us. Please go to iTunes and give us a rating of some kind. You can read the stuff we write at www.pocketgamer.co.uk, and also you can follow us on Twitter. We are Pocket Gamer, and we have many amusing things to say there. And actually, I've just learned during the course of this podcast that our Twitter page is going to look a lot more exciting. So our art guy is going to make it look exciting. So that's an even bigger incentive to come to Twitter and see what we're on about. We're actually coming at 927 followers as of now. By the time you're listening to this, you never know, we might have hit the magical 1,000 mark. There's a prize, isn't
there?
There is.
Yeah, well remembered. For whoever becomes our 1,000th follower, you will win a £20 Amazon gift voucher. So
wow.
Well done to you in the future, whoever that might be.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And you are only 73 people away. Okay, so that's us. Thanks very much, everybody, for joining me. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Chris. Okay, bye-bye.